Seminar, Agelessness. Lecture number 5. My universe is what my thought creates it as for me. My universe is what my thought creates it as for me. We think that we are free spirits. We think that we are free spirits to think anything we want to think and do anything we want to do. Now this morning we had the evidence of a thoughtless act. A thoughtless act which could result in a very careless result. We have a handyman who is competent, capable, knowledgeable. He knows how to fix tires. He knows how to do everything. And yet, when we told him to fill a tire with air, he didn't check to see if there was a reason for the leak. He didn't check to see the little nail, which was quite a big nail, it's a roofing nail, in the tire. Now, in my busyness of going after Rex and getting him corralled and bringing him home and putting him away and so forth, and picking up the golf cart and so forth, I saw all this. Now, because I am God, because I am so fantastic, because I am such a remarkable man, I saw this. No, I saw this because I had told you the tire was low on air. Please take care of it. And so, therefore, I looked at the tire to see if it now was full of air, because someone had taken the golf cart and used it. And if they used it with a low tire, I would not take that as a very great compliment to my wisdom, you know. Well, I looked at the tire, and there was a big old silver roofing nail, this big old flat head sticking out there on the top of the tire. And I thought, my goodness sakes, why wasn't that noticed? Why wasn't that noticed? And instantly we have these little plungers that you stick in there and put some gushy stuff and some string in there to seal the hole and make it tight and nice. Why wasn't that put in there? Now, we know we have done this before. We have fixed these tires at least a dozen times before because we have a very naily place around here. It seems as though people who do roofing work and so forth drop a trail of nails on their way to their roofing work because they want to buy more nails later on and say there weren't enough nails. And so I had Anita working down here by the Citadel with our electronic gadget that detects magnetically nails on the road. And Anita went through the road with a fine-tooth comb. She worked over that road for at least 3 hours. And I said, okay, Anita, I'm going to come and look at your work. So I went out there to look at her work. I picked up 30 nails without the magnetizer. They were just standing there saying, pick me up, pick me up. And I picked up all these nails, and then I showed them to Anita, and she says, that's impossible. She says, I picked them all up. I said, oh, that would have been nice if you had. Now, we had a young man called Stefan, and he was visiting on the ranch back in 1983 or 4, somewhere there. And Stefan was a little know-it-all kid. A nice guy, but little know-it-all kid. And I said, Stefan, I want you to do this. He said, when I get around to it. I said, Stefan, you just blew the horn. Stefan, I want you to go out to the shed. We had a metal shed. And in front of that shed, people had been careless, dropping nails and screws and other things, and really not putting things away nicely at all. And so I said, Stefan, you are to go out in front of that shed and pick up every screw, every nut, every nail, everything that you can find, and then you tell me when you're done. So it took him maybe half hour, and he said, Herb, I'm done. So I went out there, and I looked. And what did I see? But hundreds and hundreds of nuts and bolts and nails and screws, just all over the place. I said, Stefan, do you call this doing a good job? He said, well, they weren't there when I was looking for them. And I said, now, Stefan, watch. So I took the rake, and I raked the ground, and up they came just like popcorn, you know, popping up out of the soil. Boom, 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 boom. And I said, Stefan, take every nut, every nail, every screw, every bolt, pick them up and put them in proper cans, not just all in the same can. Put them in proper cans so that if we ever want to use them for anything, we can. Well, supper time came. This was breakfast when he started. Supper time came, and he was still at the nails. I said, Stefan, that continues tomorrow. And it went on for 3 days. And he found screws, nails, and bolts and nuts in that area beyond his fondest imagination. He said, what did they have here, a factory or something, you know? I said, no, Stefan. They had what is called, when you do the job perfectly, there's nothing to find. So if you go in there and do the job perfectly, there'll be maybe 30 or 40 nuts, bolts, screws, and nails, and that's all. But if you go in there with a bad attitude, your attitude manifests, creates, demonstrates, reveals screws and nails that weren't there. You reveal them because your attitude says, hick, 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 you know. And I said, Stefan, there's no room for that attitude on this campus, you know. On this campus, we are all learning together to follow the divine inner path and find out who we are. Well, Stefan has never forgotten those nails and screws and that adventure. And he oftentimes speaks of it. And he said it was the start of one of the most wonderful lessons of his life. The idea that an attitude can create things in my life that I don't necessarily want, but they also can create what in my life I do want. And that's our topic. My universe is what my thought creates it as for me. How do you create your universe for you? What does your thought create your universe for you? Does your thought create your universe as a lovely, joyous, fantastic experience? Or does your universe create your experience of having illnesses, of having poverty, of having limitations, of having unhappiness, of having people around you who are not pleasant? You know, we all create people around us who are not pleasant. This morning at the breakfast table, we had a talk on Thought for Today. And in the talk on Thought for Today, we were taught how to be members of the royal household. We were taught how to be members of the royal household. We were taught how to be members of the royal household. We were taught how to be members of the royal household. Now, this is not a disc or a record that has lost its way. This is a repeating statement. We were taught how to be members of the royal household. And the first thing as a member of a royal household is a royal household member associates only with other royal household members. The royal household does not go out and associate with the common man because the royal household is something special. Now you might say, when you are living your life from your divine center, when you're living your life from your divine reality, then you would go out and swear and do ugly things? You couldn't. You couldn't. If you were living your life from your highest and best, you could never swear. You could never think swear thoughts. You could never think evil thoughts. But Herb, sometimes you say a swear word. And why do I say the swear word? Ellen, tell me quickly.
Out of affection.
I say the swear word because I am your share. And I say the swear word to see what your response is. What is your response? Your response say, arr! Or is your response saying, hey, that's not in my world. I have no such thought like that in my world. I have no such, if that is your inner saying this, you don't say this. If you say this, then you do have it. But when you just don't have it in the room. What's the other word now, Sylvia? You are what? By that word?
What?
Untouched.
Untouched.
You're untouched by it.
Yes, untouched.
You're untouched by it. It does not mean a thing to you. It does not mean a thing to you. Now, we were talking also about children and how they like to have shock treatment for their parents. And when children hear street words, they bring them home sometimes and then use them in front of their parents, and their parents, ah, where'd you get that word? What does it mean, Mommy? Well, where did you get that word? Well, I heard it. But Mommy, if she had any intelligence at all, would say, oh, that's an interesting word. Do you know what it means? No. Well, let's look it up in the dictionary. It's a good training thing to get them used to looking up in the dictionary. If you ever get any funny stuff and you want to know what it means, look it up in the dictionary. So you look it up in the dictionary and it means, well, you were giving us a word the other day. And she was saying, well, I felt very randy about this, which meant very mischievous and very fun-filled and very happy. But that's not what the word truly meant in the dictionary. It was what they thought it meant. Now, rand in the dictionary meant a licentious being in all ways of the word. And she, that's not what I meant. Well, be careful. Be careful what you're trying to shock us with. And she was trying to shock us with the idea that she was a very loving, joyous, fantastic, open-minded, friendly, magnificent woman. And of course she was, and she is. Now, you see, when you are walking your spiritual path, when you are being yourself and having fun, when you are ageless, in your agelessness, you don't use language, you don't use words, you don't use thoughts that are going to be aging you. And now, what happens when a mother gets the child into the dictionary? She'll say, well, now look, here's rand. Here's what that means, you know, and see what it means. And now, that's not a nice thing to say about somebody, is it? You know, you want me to say that about you? No, Mommy, you know, Mommy, what does licentiousness mean? And Mommy says, oh boy, open a bag of worms here. Licentiousness means that you want to have and control and manipulate another person in every manner, in every emotional manner that you can, plus other things. And so, oh, that's not very nice. But see, so these are words that we use carefully, and we don't even use them. We don't need them because that's not in our language. Well, when you are a divine person, you surround yourself with divine people who are being divine on the same area that you are. Everyone is divine. You see, this is a big point that we sometimes forget. Everything and everybody is divine. God is all. God is what we call the good, the bad, and the indifferent. And the only reason it's good, bad, and indifferent is because we judge it. We give it labels. And when we give it labels, then, of course, it has. Now, we have this word that we've used for so many years and used it so joyously and so delightfully, and we've called everything gay. It's a gay day. It's a gay time. Everyone is gay and happy, and the song is gay and light. And that word meant it was a joyful, happy, wonderful, responsive way of looking at life and being. And then another community, another alternative way of looking at sex came along, and they said, that's what we are. We're gay. And they called themselves gay. The homosexual community said they were gay. And so the word gay now took on a new definition, a.k.a. The 20th century, 21st century, in fact. And now, it has changed the whole use of the word. You go around and you say, are you gay? Are you happy? You know, and they say, no, I'm not gay. But I mean, not that you are homosexual. Are you happy? You know, are you a happy person? And, well, yes, I'm a happy person. Well, if you're a happy person and you're not a homosexual person, don't be afraid of using the word gay. Use it because it is a perfectly acceptable, wonderful word. But the thing is, if you think of the word in other definitions, then the word for you is another definition. Now, our student here, who used the word rand and randy, meant it in a very charming, very mischievous, delightful, fantastic way. But the dictionary wouldn't accept it. It didn't have that definition plug. You didn't tell the dictionary to add that to it, you know. And we have to tell the dictionary, hey, we're expanding the vocabulary, we're expanding the parameters of this word. And today, that word means many more things, you know. And hey, that's okay. Now, Gertrude, perhaps in Switzerland and Germany and Italy, in foreign countries, they don't have this phrase. But the children of America, and I'm sure the children of Europe do it too, children go around and say, man, you're bad. You're real bad. Which means you're fantastic. You're glorious. You're good. You know? And they say, that was a bad show. That was a show we all want to see. That was real bad. Real good show. And they have completely changed the word bad, which is quite interesting, you know? And they have given it a new definition. And because of this new definition, we have to be careful. I talk with people constantly around the world in many languages that they speak and are translated to me, and they will make statements, and I will have to say to them, ah, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by being a Christian? What do you mean by being an Islam? What do you mean by being a Buddhist? What do you mean by being a Democrat? What do you mean by being a Republican? What do you mean by being left or right? You know, what do you mean by these things? It's not, I know what definition I might have on it most commonly, but that doesn't mean that's their definition. Their definition may be, it's a bad one. Oh, I tell you, it's good, you know. And you have to understand that. So, when people talk to me, I don't take offense at their words. I merely say, hey, how do you mean that? What is your definition for that idea, that phrase, that word? What's your definition? Tell me what your definition is, and then I will understand where you're coming from. Now, if you say you are a Christian, that's probably one of the most ugly things you could say about yourself. Because a Christian, according to what most people think about it, is a person who says any other religion is no good. Who says, if you're not a Christian, then you're not living right. If you're not a Christian and you don't believe in Christ, you don't believe in Jesus Christ, that he's your Savior and so forth, wow, are you bad on the spectrum of being bad? Oh, you're way down. And you see, if that's what you mean, or if you say you're Christian, meaning that you follow the teachings of Jesus the Christ, and you follow the lifestyle and the pattern and the words that he gave in the four Gospels, wow, what a beautiful statement. That I buy. I think that's great. But if you start saying you're Paulinian, you know, and you're from other aspects of the Bible, other aspects of the teaching, isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? We read the words of Paul and we think, wow, what a great Christian. What a great follower of Christ. What a great follower of the teaching. He never knew Jesus. He never talked to him. He never heard one word Jesus said. He listened intuitively within, and so he was intuitively instructed on what Jesus meant, said, and did. But that's from his point of view. Now, you and I can listen intuitively within, and we can be a Paul, you know? We can be as equally inspired, illumined, and uplifted as Paul was. Now, Paul went out and said some pretty heavy things to people, you know. Said some pretty heavy things that if you don't believe, you know, you're bad news. And that's unfortunate. Now, you see, if you always describe what it is you mean when you're using words, when you're talking about things, my universe is what my thought creates it as for me. Now, there are people who have different languages. And in many languages, they don't have all the same terminology. Some languages do not include words about computers because the Polynesian islands have no electricity, they have no computers, they have no interest or knowledge of this, they don't have a television set, they don't have radios. Radios are kind of strange, you wouldn't think they'd have that, but they don't have these things. Therefore, they know nothing about the computer life, the computer world, which to us is so common, you know. And so if we were to go and talk to them about how wonderful computers are and what great things they are and how they teach you to express yourself in beautiful ways, they would say to us, What's a computer? And then for you to try to describe to someone who doesn't know what a television is or what a radio is, what a computer is, you are doing a miracle task. So, this very simple illustration is very strong. Just because people live in this society does not mean they know this society, that they know the phraseology and terms. We have gone to meet many people in African nations, and we have met many people in South American nations, and these people did not have the benefits of computers and all that stuff. They had television. But you see, the television said this to them. It said, everything on television is fantasy. Because we don't wear clothes like that here in the jungle. We don't have kitchens in our houses like that. We don't have floors and vacuum cleaners. You know, who cleans their floor in the jungle house? You brush it with a palm frond, you know. And who has a toilet? What's a toilet? I mean, where does the stuff go when it goes down the toilet, you know? Here, you just go in this room and you dump all this bad stuff out of yourself in the toilet. Where does it go? Now, we know where it goes out in the jungle, you know. It goes into a hole or whatever they do, you know. But, you see, it's fantasy. Now, you say, but it's not fantasy to us. We know it. And, you see, there's why you can live in many different worlds, even on the same planet. And it's surprising that we think everybody has the same wonderful experiences that we do. So perhaps everything we're doing is fantasy. Perhaps you're sitting in this fantasy living room here, in this fantasy cathedral, like we call this beautiful room. And the clocks on the walls are just fantasy. You know, they're all different from each other by a minute or a second or whatever, you know? And look at these plants. Plants growing inside of the house, you know? And people sitting in the house and closing all the doors. Where's the air coming? You know? And we have a fantasy world here. We really do. We really do. And it is ours. My universe is what my thought creates it as for me. So now that we've gotten rid of the strange facts and we're into the world of fantasy, what sort of fantasy would you like? What sort of a fantasy experience would you like to have? If you were living in the jungle and someone came and pointed a flashlight at you and you'd never seen a flashlight, you say, what is this? He's got this match, this flame. He took it out of the fire and it points straight ahead. How could he do that? You know? And if he lights a firecracker, oh, wow, what an exciting thing that is. And if he opens a can and takes food out of it that he eats, my goodness, he didn't even have to kill a rabbit for that. How did he do that? You see? And look at that suitcase. In that suitcase, he has underwear, undershirts, underpants, stockings, shoes. He's got pants. He's got shirts. Boy, and look at how colorful some of them are. And he has that camera that he takes pictures of people and shows you the picture on the back after he's taken the picture. And how did they get in there? Let those people out. Those people shouldn't be in there, you know. I mean, this we say, you've heard this before, and so this is not something new to you. But really, if we were in a primitive society without the benefit of these experiences, and we have it for the first time, how interesting it would be. How interesting it would be. We have the ability to create for ourselves many wonderful and interesting things. Now, what sort of a wonderful and interesting thing would you like to create for yourself? I would imagine, number one, you have a body. And this body doesn't know what to do. This body is born and grows, it's fed, nourished, and grows. But what's it supposed to do? What's it supposed to do? When you leave an apple out in the sun too long, after it's been picked, it gets rotten on the inside first, you know. And that's just like we. We get rotten on the inside first because we don't know what to do. Now, how would we retain our freshness? How would we retain our youth on the inside of our apple core, our apple skin? You know, how would we do that? Well, we do that only by thought. Only by thought. If we think, now let me tell you, what was his name? Swami Yogananda? Yeah, Yogananda. Yogananda was out here in California. He had many centers out here. And when he died, he said, I am not going to decay. My body will remain as fresh as it is on the day that I died. You know? So he died. And they put him in a glass coffin. And for weeks he was in this glass coffin, able to be seen in the cemetery where he was put. And the police finally said, that's not acceptable. He's not Stalin. And we haven't got the Red Scare Square for him. But and they made them close the tomb and bury him. And he probably is still down there undecayed. Why is he undecayed? Why has he not decayed like everybody else decays when they die? Because he said, I do not decay. I will remain as fresh as the day I died through eternity. Oh my goodness sakes, what a useless, unfortunate thing. Who would ever want such a thing? What benefit is there? It's not the point. It's the point that he could make such a statement and have it be true for him. Even in his body that no longer had his mind or his beingness into it. His body, which no longer had a brain to operate it. The brain was there, but it was dead, you know. Now, how could they do that? Can we do that? You bet. And where do we start? We start with our thoughts. With our thoughts now. We start with our thoughts. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, that's not so bad. Out of isness, I take beneficial causes. And the isness is I am rotten or I am whole. Which one do you want? I am rotten or I am whole.
I'm whole.
Yeah, rotten is just fine, too. It's a real thing. Whole is just fine. It's a real thing. And Dorothea, what do you want to be? You want to be whole?
Oh, yes.
Ich bin. I am.
I am
whole. You see, these are things that we want to really put into motion for ourselves. What is it that we want to think about? Out of the isness, I take beneficial causes. What beneficial cause are you taking out of the isness?
I'm whole.
I'm sorry?
I am whole.
I'm sorry?
I am whole. I'm divine. I like me.
Ellen, when I say, I'm sorry, when I say, what's that? What am I doing?
You want me to repeat the same.
What am I doing? I am testing you. I am challenging you to think whether you really believe it.
Yes.
You're whole? You are whole? You? You know? I make you feel ludicrous. I make you feel stupid. I make you think, maybe I'm saying the wrong thing. Maybe he wants a different answer. I want you to give the answer you believe and stand by it. It's so easy for us to vacillate, to move from one condition to another, one answer to another, just because it seems like that's the right thing to do. Now tell your mother what she wants to hear. I love you, Mommy. That's a good child. Now go play. No. Tell your mother what she wants to hear. All men love me. No, I didn't mean that. You know. Tell your mother what she wants to hear. You're a good cook, Mommy. Yeah, that's good too, but you see, what does Mommy want to hear? What does a child think that Mommy wants to hear? What does a child train in thinking that Mommy wants to hear? Interesting, huh? What is it going to be? What is it going to be for you? What are you trained in wanting to hear? What are you trained in thinking about? What is it that's important for you? You see, what's important for you, and Dorothea is getting over this pretty well now, I've got to tell you about my operation. I've got to tell you about my problems. I've got to tell you about how we didn't have money. I've got to tell you how we're limited on funds and we can't spend money. Yeah, that's what you say. Every time you say how much something costs, you're saying money is a big item for me to think about, you know? And when, Dorothea, would you like a new Rolls Royce or Bentley or something like that, some big, beautiful, expensive car? And Dorothea said, oh, I wouldn't like such a beautiful, big, expensive car. But Dorothea, if you had any brains in your head, you'd say, yes, thank you, I'll take two. And then, or Dorothea, you can turn them in on the Porsche that you want or anything else that you want. You're able to buy six Porsches with your Rolls-Royce car. You understand? Yeah. Now, and you know, Dorothea, you might just get accustomed to riding around in a Rolls-Royce. Because what goes with a Rolls-Royce, Dorothea? Huh?
Prestige?
Prestige, yes. A chauffeur.
Oh.
Ho, ho, ho. Doesn't that sound like fun? You'd have a chauffeur. And of course, if you could afford a chauffeur, which you could afford, you would have a very lovely home. And you would have a very lovely swimming pool in it, and you'd have an indoor and outdoor pool. You would have jacuzzis, and you would have all that good stuff, you know? Okay, now, Dorothy, realize that you never say no to abundance. You never say no to the wonderful things that life is. Now, is God limited in any way?
No.
Are you God?
Absolutely.
Are you limited in any way?
No.
Okay. Now, Dorothea, who is using your jet right now? Nobody. It's waiting at the airport for me. It's my jet. Right?
Right.
You see, the thing is, you would say, well, practically, you know, I'm letting the pilot use it for going on vacation, or I'm letting, no. Dorothea, you have your private jet, okay?
Okay.
That was really tough. You have your private jet. Now, Dorothea, your pilot wants to go on vacation with his family in the Bahamas. Now, he wants to take the jet and go there. Now, what do you say to him? Now, watch what you say. You say, Arnold, Arnie, you want to take your family in the jet to the Bahamas? Well, Arnie, go down and pick up a family jet and buy it. I'll pay for it, you know, and then take your family to the Bahamas. Oh, see, that's unlimitedness. You see, he's not using your jet. Your jet is for you. You see, that's the big point. Your jet is always perfect, absolutely magnificent, just for you. Nobody else even thinks of going in that jet without you inviting them because you're there. Because it's just not used for anything except you. And you are the queen, you're the princess, you're the ultimate of the ultimates, you understand?
Yeah.
You like that, huh? Sounds kind of good, doesn't it, huh? Yeah, sure. Okay, now, can you see what I'm saying? When you are able to dream and able to put causes in motion, then you will be like the children in third world areas that have never experienced some of these things, and they see it only on television or in movies that they are shown, and they say, that's fantasy, you know, that's not real. What do you think, Lydia, when you see Star Trek? Do you think that's real?
Possibly.
See, possibly. And she says, why not? Why not? Possibly. Now, what do you think when you see the stuff on Star Trek? Beam me up, Scotty. Hey, Ellen?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think when you see that? Hey, that's cool. Now, is it a possibility? You bet. Is it a reality? Already, yes. You just have not put yourself in that dimension where that already exists. Now, what is the dimension where that already exists? Ingeborg? Ingeborg?
It's
now. And thought. But yes, in thought. And what thought?
Positive, great, unlimited.
Yeah, unlimited. That's the point. Positive, great, but unlimited thought. The unlimited thought is what brings us into these beautiful things. Do you think that these wealthy people like Bill Gates and so forth are worried about money? Do you think they're worried about ideas? Bill Gates keeps his mind alive by playing games. Whenever there's company over, they play very active mind games, you know. And they're very active, and they're very powerful, and they're very dynamic, and they're very wonderful. And what do? They do great things. They do great things because he's alert, he's awake, he's enthusiastic about life. He's aware of everything that's going on, and it is great. Now, you have the same brain that Bill Gates has. You just haven't cranked it up. Now, when are you going to crank it up? When are you going to get it going? Have you ever driven a little green golf cart? You turn on the key and you put your foot on the accelerator. It goes, and it gets going. It takes a few moments for it to warm up the old engine there and get going, but it goes. Now, if we would teach that golf cart to play mind games, it would run right away. Really?
Yes, it does.
Well, you see, here the genius knows how to get the mind games going with the little green golf cart and have it work that way. And that's great, because that's the golf cart she always uses. And that is beautiful. Now, what did we just say? We said the golf cart is an object with presumably not a brain in it. And yet it operates one way for Ingeborg and another way for the rest of us. How is that? How is that? Is it the golf cart's brain, or is it our brain operating whatever world condition we think about and talk about? Interesting, huh? Interesting. So whatever we put our thought on, that is the type of thing we deal. I love imagination, and so I visualize the most exciting possibilities and bring them into expression for the fun of it. Now, life is to be for the fun of it. How do we have life for the fun of it? We have life for the fun of it because it is a joy. It does not have to make sense. Does it make sense for Dorothea to own 3 or 4 big luxury cars and only go out maybe once a month or two in these luxury cars? What does Dorothea do most of the time when she wants to go someplace? When Dorothea wants to go someplace, most of the time, she just says, "I am there." And she teleports, pop, like that. And then she arrives at the event, and it's a picnic. And she comes dressed for an afternoon cocktail party. And she says, "Oh, excuse me a moment." And she's back home, and pop, or she doesn't even need to back home. She just manifests this proper picnic clothing on her. And there she is. And people look at her and say, "I could have sworn a minute ago you were wearing a cocktail dress, and now you're wearing picnic clothes. What's this all about?" Well, that was an illusion. That was an illusion that both of us had. But I'm wearing the picnic clothing right now. Now, is that possible? Is that possible for you and for Dorothea or for any of us? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine Gertrude doing the same thing? Can you imagine Gertrude thinking any thought and having it instantly manifest, instantly being brought forth into her life? Yes. It's so easy to do. Now, why doesn't she do it all the time? She does it. We don't know half the things that Gertrude's doing. We don't know what she's doing on other dimensions, where she has her Rolls Royces, and she has her Jaguars, and she has her jet airplanes, and she has her, boats in the water, the ski boats. She has these ski boats. And she gets out there, and she gets on her ski boat, and she says, "This is much better than long-laughing." Much better than skiing across the hills up in Switzerland. And the hills in Switzerland are still fun. But here she is in this little ski boat, and she's zipping across and bouncing up over the waves and just having herself a living ball. And then when she's done, she doesn't like to take the ski boat into shore and dock it and put it on the car and, you know, on the wagon, the trailer behind the car. And so she just says, click, and she is wherever she is, and the ski boat is wherever it's supposed to be, completely washed down, polished, and ready for the next use, and it's available. And you see, she doesn't have to worry about hauling it behind the car. She just takes her word, and when she goes to the beach, and she says, hey, wouldn't it be fun if we all had a ski boat? And so for the six matrons here, she has six ski boats. Bung! Every color that you like. Yours is red, yours is blue, yours is green, yours is gold. You got a problem? Yours is brown, and yours is pink. So, you see, whatever color, and yours has 2,000 horsepower, yours has 1,000, yours has 1,500, and yours has 8,000. Wow! And yours has 50.
Where am I flying?
But you don't need the horsepower. Because whatever you think you want that boat to do, it does. Now, if you don't like bouncing on the waves, it cuts right through them. If you like bouncing on the waves, yeah, if you like that, and then here you are with your boat and your ski boat, and you say, oh, wouldn't it be fun to have a really good Hawaiian wave here, you know, a nice tall one, maybe 50 to 100 feet tall. And so you create this big old wave, and you on the tippy top. And so here you are riding the top of the wave, and down there is the bottom, as you go sailing in toward the beach. And of course, you don't want to damage the beach, so you say, end. And what happens? You're just sitting there in a puddle of water, right at the beach, ready to call it a day. And then you don't want to get your toes wet, which they already are. And so you say, dry land. The water recedes from the beach, and you step out on dry land, and then you say, home, scooter, and the scooter is home. Now, you say, oh, Herb, this is fantasy, 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 and that's right. And that's what made is the world about. That's what the world is made about. It is truly made about fantasy. Whatever you can conceive and believe, you can achieve. Whatever thoughts you want to put into motion for yourself, you can have. But you've got to start thinking wild thoughts. Because until you start thinking wild thoughts, you don't have these beautiful concepts come up to you. Because you're not ready for them. You're not ready to experience the magic of craziness. So experience the magic of craziness in little things. Say to yourself, hey, kitty cat, I don't know who you are, you know, but hey, kitty cat, come on over here. And the cat looks up at you and says, you talking to me? And yes, I am. Come on over here. And so the cat comes over to you and you say, cat, what's it like to be looking out of your eyes? May I get in your body and look out of your eyes for a minute? And the cat says, I'm going in your body. And you say, that's okay. So you get in the cat and you got your consciousness and you're looking out of the cat's eyes. Now, what do you see? You see every rodent, you see every bird, you see everything that attracts a cat. And then you see your mistress. And so you walk over to her and you rub against her leg, and the mistress looks down at you and says, hi there, love. And you say, this is interesting. And you think, how would a cat handle this, or how would a cat do that? But you see, you still have your, so to speak, human consciousness in your brain that you're inside this cat with. Now, and then you say, okay, enough, and tick-tick, you're back. And the cat turns to you and says, you didn't give me time to do anything. I was in this human body, and I just wasn't ready for that yet. I didn't realize what I could all do in that human body. I could go and do all sorts of things. I could jump and run, and I could get in a car and drive, and I could fly in an airplane. Wow! What you can do in your human body, the magic that you can perform, it is unbelievable. You see? We have that capacity. Now, that's all part of agelessness. Agelessness is not getting older. Agelessness is having more and more imagination, more and more of the magic of thinking of all of these wonderful, fantastic, wild dreams that we can dream. That's agelessness. Agelessness is never getting too old to have all sorts of young ideas. Never getting too old to have all sorts of young ideas. And young ideas are what children think, because children are uninhibited by the fact that it ain't so. And it is so. It is so. But we have not tuned ourselves into that so-ness. Now we can. Are you ready to tune yourself into your so-ness? Are you ready to see what other people don't see? If you do, you're going to have to let go of all of the concepts you've had up to now that said it isn't so. You've got to let go of all those concepts that said, well, now, I was born in 1945 or 48 or 52 or whenever I was born, and so I am so many years old, and I have a body of this. I am 3 years old. And according to Dr. Spock, well, a three-year-old acts like this, and a four-year-old acts like that, and a 10-year-old acts like this. And why limit yourself? Dr. Spock, take your Spocknism and jump in the lake. I am not limited by Dr. Spock. I'm not limited by the evidence of what other people do. I am a new creative spirit living however I live. Now, I am born. Instantly, I am all knowledge. That's true. I am born. Instantly, I have the capacity to express all knowledge. I'm my Einstein self. I am born. I have the capacity to walk and run and talk and play and do anything I want to do immediately. I am born. And I have the capacity to do my toilet in the proper way, without having to have diapers. I am born, and I don't need to go through the stages that people put me through just because I am so many years old. I am beyond that. Now, you see, would that parents would teach their children this, the child in the womb, and the mother and father say, hey there, guy, you're fantastic. When you're born, you will be completely developed in every possible way. You'll be a little child. You may grow up to be an adult or something else, but right now you have all the capacity to think, and it does. You have all the capacity to act, and it does. You have all the capacity to talk, and it does. You have all the capacity to do anything you want to do. And you know, the kid has all the capacity to sit down instantly at the most complex computer and use it in a very beautiful way. Even though their fingers are too tiny to touch the keys. You know what the kid does? You know what the kid does? Tell me. What does he do? His fingers won't hit the keys.
He thinks it.
Or, Ellen, what else would the kid do? He'd create a keyboard the size of his fingers.
Yeah.
Why not? Can you imagine the size of a little tiny child's, like 2 months old or 2 weeks old or 1 day old, their little tiny fingers, that the keyboard? And then what would happen as a child developed into a larger child?
The keyboard
would naturally develop right along with him. Now, it's true. He could think his thought, and the computer would respond to his thought and give back whatever his thought chose to have it give back, or he could play. And then, what about here, huh? What about here? The kid's name is Mozart. And so he wants to start playing the piano. Well, now there's no way he could get his little tiny fingers across those big keys, but there's a way that the big keys could get down to the size of his little tiny fingers. And he could play that piano. It would still respond on those big strings and the big noisemakers, you know. But the little keys, and wow, the symphonic orchestra, the world of music, the world of sound and glory would be there. Now, you say, that's impossible. Hey, did I just tell you about it? Did I just think through it with you? Did I just say how it responds to this thing? Then it's possible. Then it's possible. You see, this is what the books of science fiction are all about. These scientists read the books of science fiction, and then they say, that'd be an interesting idea. I think I'll work on that project. I think I'll work on this Beam Me Up, Scotty. And they are. They're working on Beam Me Up, Scotty. And they have it done in principle, and they have it done in fact with certain materials, but they just haven't yet chosen to do it with the human because they want to make sure that all of the brain matter that is spread apart and returned comes back in the same shape. And, of course, they don't have to worry about that. It's not the brain. What is it? It's the thought. It's just the thought. Now, the thought is not irregardless or unimportant, but the thought is all that is there, and the body is just a replica of chemical symbols and chemical complexes, you know. So once these chemical symbols and complexes are understood and utilized, which science is doing today in many degrees with this cloning animals and cloning beings and so forth, they will do wonderful things. You know, there's so much talk about the stem cell and how wonderful it is and how beneficial it is to the human body at various ages for various stages and various conditions, you know? Well, hey, why don't you clone a stem cell? Why don't you go in there and create a stem cell? A universal stem cell that would be absolutely acceptable to any blood type, absolutely acceptable to any body. Nobody would reject it because it would be harmonious with every body system. Hey, Lydia, go do it. Okay? Yes. But why not? Why not? See, this is what life is all about. Life is all about being creative, being dynamic, being forthright, and having a lot of fun. And you too are that same way. You're having a lot of fun, and you're being forthright, and you're doing great things. When are you going to start? I love imagination, and so I visualize the most exciting possibilities and bring them into expression for the fun of it. Not because it's needed, but for the fun of it. Wouldn't that be neat to have pills that have stem cells in them, and if you have a cough, pop a stem cell? If you have anything that bothers you in any way, pop a stem cell, and it instantly goes in and takes care of whatever the problem may be. Wouldn't it be cute? Wow, you know? My universe is a magic kingdom. Haven't we been saying that? It's a magic kingdom of our thought, our imagination, our dreams. And I love creating unexpressed ideas. Now, how many people have you ever heard about who had Mozart playing a tiny keyboard when he's a little baby? Or a tiny violin? Who could make the tiny violin for Mozart to play, you know? He played his dad's violin, didn't he? And he played it reasonably well, but I think he was 3 or 4 years old at the time. A little bigger fingers. But just imagine. Just imagine. You see, I love creating unexpressed ideas. And Dorothea, with her her garage full of cars and her jet airplane and her beautiful home with all of its luxuries. And Dorothea, since you like to run around your house as naked, why do you want to have servants? You don't need servants. You want to be alone. You want to have people there, you want to be there. So you create every little thing done. You say, I'm ready for my cup of tea. And there's your cup of tea. Made perfectly because you created it. I'm ready for a crumpet, you know. I'm ready for a cookie. I'm ready for a little tiny pâté sandwich, you know, something that is just going to delight my palate until mealtime. And there it is. And then you say, oh, I love having my friend Henrietta or George or Paul or Marguerite here. And then pop, pop, there they are. And you say, Henrietta, George, Marguerite, and so on, did you know you were going to come visit me? Dorothea, we are always at your beck and call. Whenever you think about us, we are there with you. And when you stop thinking about us, we are back doing whatever we were doing before. And we don't know that we were not there, and we don't know that we were there. Because you are the creator of your world, and you create us and everything that's in it. See, this is the magic. Out of the isness, I take beneficial causes. You know, it's great. Ideas are my toys, and I use them excitedly. Like we said yesterday, remember?
Yeah.
So take these ideas that are your toys and use them with great excitement and great enjoyment and have lots of fun. And just know that whether you like it or not, I love you. I love you. I love you.